today. Okay. I'm going to speak today about Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is here and give him free rein. I want him to be the one that delivers this message, and I am only the vessel. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the light of the world, Lord Jesus. We thank you today, O Holy Spirit, that you are here. I sense your presence. I pray that you will give us hearts to receive, minds to retain, and we pray, O God, that you will speak to us, that we will hear the voice of God through the words that I speak. Use me as your vessel, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, the light of the world. Our world is in a desperately dark condition today. But thanks be to God, Jesus, God's Son, came to this earth to be the light of the world. No matter how dark it is, he is the light. In the beginning, Christ was part of the Godhead, which said, "Let there be light." He was there with God. He was part of that Trinity, and he said, "Let there be light." He was in the burning bush, which spoke to Moses, and that pillar of fire, which led Israel through the wilderness. The psalmist said, "He is my light and my salvation." He was the light of the world, born at night to dispel darkness with his light. He was the bright light seen by disciples on a hillside at his transfiguration. Remember, they went up on the mountain and he was transfigured, and God said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him, in whom I'm well pleased." He was the light which blinded Saul that day on the road to Damascus. His name was later changed to Paul. He was the light. Jesus, when Saul said, "Who art thou?" when he was blinded, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light of heaven, where there is no need of sun or moon. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet. Jesus is that Word. He's that living Word and a light to our path. Darkness, simply put, is the presence, the absence of light. It's the absence of light. And if you walk into a dark room and you don't like it, it does no good to stand there and curse the darkness. You have to do something about it. The best thing to do is turn on a light, and then the darkness flees. That's the same thing in our lives. When there's darkness, the light of God can come in and dispel the darkness. Darkness is a symbol of life without God, who is light. To live without the knowledge of God and his word is to walk in darkness, a spiritual darkness. In John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9, I would like to read that. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I tell you, Jesus is the living Word. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life is the light that we have today, that we need. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It didn't overwhelm it. The darkness could not overwhelm light. It never can. Light will dispel darkness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe, that through Jesus they might believe. He was not that light, this man, John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which he gives light to every man coming into the world. In John, the 8th chapter, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus gives light to our lives. As John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." His life brings light into our lives. Jesus being the light of the world means that one day this world will be filled with this light as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine the light of Jesus will cover this world, and all darkness and all the works of darkness and all the sons of darkness will be cast out. That is why Jesus called hell outer darkness. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, in that day all will be light. There's coming a day when it will all be light. Jesus, the radiance of the Father, will fill the world, and everything will be beautiful with the light of Christ. There's coming a day. Jesus is the light in which you see God, through how you see God. The light in which you see the history of redemption and the work of salvation. Through Jesus it comes. Only through him can we receive that salvation. Nothing will be the same again when you have him as your light. Everything looks different in the light of Christ. His light will help you bear the sorrows of darkness. We have difficult times. There are dark days in our lives. But the light of Christ will help you bear that. He will bear it for you. It will be a soft glow to comfort you in your lonely room after a loss, a devastating loss. His light will give you comfort. It will be a lamp on a troubled path. Christ is the light of the world. God is light, and Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of God. One sun enlightens the whole world, so does one Christ, Jesus, and there needs no more. That was from the commentary. I got that quote. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, Paul wrote, "Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, it will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory?" The Spirit of God will bring more glory than just that those words that Moses looked at. "For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory." This is Paul writing, "Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all. We cannot depend on our righteousness. Keeping the law will not do it because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted." There's a veil there. It's not, we don't see the glory, because only through Christ is it taken away. Christ fulfilled the law. Through him that veil is removed. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to us to tell us if you trust in your own righteousness, it's not enough. Only Jesus can remove that veil. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one glory to another glory." From glory to glory, he's changing us from the old person we were. The Jewish leaders attempted to entrap Jesus after he healed a blind man. The story is told, they asked the formerly blind man by what means he was healed, and he said, "I don't know anything about the man." He said, "But this one thing I know, I was blind and now I see." This is the testimony of every person who has been touched and redeemed by Jesus, the light of the world. "One thing I know, that whereas I was lost and blinded by sin, I am redeemed by the light and grace of God." We don't understand how it happens, but it happens because of his light that shines in us. Jesus said in the ninth chapter of John, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He told his disciples that. And then in Acts, the first chapter, Jesus was taken up into heaven while his disciples watched. A cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus was no longer in a fleshly body in this world, but his spirit now dwells in those who have, by faith, been redeemed by his blood. And Jesus has given us a command to be a light in a dark world. He was the light, but he says, "I want you to be the light." Now he said in Matthew, the fifth chapter, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town or a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bushel or a basket. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It's not because we want them to glorify us or say, "Wow, look how good this person is," but we want them to see the glory of God and glorify him. And then that song that I asked Sister Dee to sing, because Ramona wasn't here yet. But anyway, we cheated Ramona, didn't we? "There's a light on a hillside that overlooks life's sea." That hillside is Calvary. That light was on Calvary's hill. And he says, "When I've tossed, it sends out a light that I might see." That is what guides us and leads us. And the light that shines in darkness, it will safely lead us o'er. If we keep our eyes on that light, that Calvary's mountain, then if it weren't for that lighthouse, my ship would be no more. Our lives could not carry on. You know, today, everybody, like it says in the song that lives around us, says, "Tear that lighthouse down." We don't have any confidence in that blood atonement. We don't just take it away. The big ships, the important people don't even believe in it anymore. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in it standing around. Get rid of it. That's what the world is saying today. Just take away the blood atonement. Mark out that Jesus was the Christ. That he was the one that bought salvation. That he was God come in the flesh. But mark it out, and let's just let him be a good man. But it's not that way, is it? It says, "Then I remember." He says, "My mind goes back to that stormy night." And you and I can remember when, just in time, when we were sinking and God came in, and the light from that old lighthouse came, I saw that light, and it rescued me. And then he says, "I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him." The lighthouse is Jesus. I owe it to him, that light that shines in darkness. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, he has shone a light around me that I could clearly see it. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Consider, I think about the moon and the sun. The moon has no light of its own, but it draws light from the sun. The sun is its only source of light. Jesus is like the sun. He is our only source of light. We have no light on our own. We can't go out and shine and say, you know, we have no light except through Jesus. We have no righteousness and no glory of our own. All the works we can do to keep the commandments, it's not righteousness, it's not enough. But we can shine forth with God's light because we can reflect his glory in this dark world. Only as Jesus shines through us can we be a light to this world, just like the moon is a reflection of the sun. Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter, verse 9, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." When we represent Jesus, we could basically say, if you're looking at me, I have Jesus in me, and I'm not telling you to go say that, but you're looking at Jesus. He's reflected through me, and we need to represent him. Let that light shine in our lives. Like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Let us be a reflection of Jesus, just as Jesus is a reflection of his Father. I thank you for joining us today for a very brief but deep lesson in knowing how to display and to shine forth, letting Jesus shine through our lives. If you have not accepted Jesus into your life, and if you questioned and said, I'm not sure that there is even any reason, nobody believes in him anymore, like the old song says, the big people, important people don't even believe in him. But let me tell you, there is coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. They will acknowledge that he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He came into Jerusalem when he came, that before he was crucified, he came in on a lowly little donkey, just a colt. But he is coming again. He'll come in power and glory. He will come riding on a white horse in triumph because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You might say you don't need him, but you do. You have no life without him. I'm astounded at the number of people who are saying, I have no reason to live. We live in a world that's filled with darkness, but Jesus is the light of the world. And he wants to be the light in your life today if you have not received him. I would like for you to just let me pray with you and accept him. If you've not done it, this is the best time right now to accept him. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that right now we recognize that you are definitely the lighthouse, that we need that light in our lives. You've rescued me. You've rescued people in this congregation, others. And there are others whom you desire to rescue because your light is the light of the world. There is no other light like you. Lord Jesus, we just recognize that we are sinners without the grace of God, but we ask you to cleanse us, wash our sins away. See the love of Jesus in us and through us, I pray. Let us be a reflection of Jesus everywhere we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I trust that you have accepted Christ and that you've made him the Lord of your life. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. He doesn't want you to despair. He doesn't want you to be in darkness. If you just let him in, he will be bright in your life. We thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a blessed and prosperous week. Okay. Is there anyone who has anything to say? You have something to say for yourselves? Maybe you need a microphone. Come on. Got to give her a chance to talk. She went to a ladies' retreat this week, and she came back all ecstatic.